work my way back up to running. Never fucking running in those canes. You know what's mad funny? I was talking to Gills, my boy Gills. He just ran with Timmy's brother.
I feel like I started like a domino effect, because I got Timmy into running, then Timmy got his brother into running. Now Gills.
Yeah, Gills is running. So Gills told me he got back from running. So I told him the story about like what happened when I hurt my Achilles. He's like, I heard down the podcast. I had no idea he listened to the podcast.
Yeah.
He was like, you wore the canes, didn't you? I was like, I started cracking up. I was like, bro, this fucking kid Frankie, bro.
What, me? Never once have I fucking promoted those as running shoes.
You told me to follow the kid who promoted them. So,
well, that's false advertisement. That is not on me. I never once, their recovery shoes.
Oh, man, I was cracking. I was like, this kid Frankie told me to follow this kid. I followed him. I got to see an ad the next day. I'm like, I could run in these, why not? Next thing you know, can't run for fucking 3 months.
Something mad funny. One time I did a track. I go to the city, the Lower East Side. There's a track over there. I'll do a lot of my track work there, and Ant was with me. And motherfucker's on a one wheel, so he's chilling. Like, after I do an 8 mile track workout, I always throw the canes on right after, and we walk from it's about a mile, 1.3 miles from the track to the ferry. We're walking back. Well, I'm walking, he's rolling. and it was like 11:20, and we were down the block from the ferry. The ferry comes at 11:30. So I had the canes on, and bro, I just ran an 8 mile track workout. And he's like, yo, we're cutting it close. It was like 11:21, 22. And he goes, you think you could run? I'm like, I was like, I'm not putting these shoes back on, and I got canes, and I'm like, all right, fuck it, I'll try. So like, I'm like jiggle jogging, like running in them, and I'm like, yo, how did Oliver run five miles? It wasn't even like a quarter of a mile that I had to like slow jog to the ferry, and I'm like, this is horrible.
That's fucking hysterical. Yeah, it wasn't. Yeah, no, never again. Never again, man.
No.
Still working back from that. That's so funny. But anyways, with that being said, welcome back to everybody who's listening in. This is a Non-Negotiable Podcast. I'm your host, Oliver Brito, here with my co-host,
Frankie Dades. Welcome back.
Happy to have everybody.
Happy Saturday, man.
Yeah, yeah.
Yo, beautiful weather.
Oh, my God. It's beautiful outside today.
Yo, next week's like the 50s, 60s. I'm like, all right, are we out of the woods?
Or I don't know. The groundhog didn't get scared or something like that, right?
I believe that they said that early spring.
Early spring. Whatever happened. Didn't see it, saw it, whatever.
I don't understand how that works, but whatever. As long as, because I know the last 3 years, he saw it or something, or he did get scared. So it was like a long winter. I was like, come on, bro. I can't deal with this.
This fucking guy seen his shadow, bro.
But next week's going to be 50s, and then watch March. We'll get like blizzard. That's what
I know. We only got one snow this year so far, which is awesome. Last year we had no snow.
And the year before.
Yeah, love to see it. Love to see it. But even if it does snow, I was telling you last week, I got that fucking snow blower.
Yeah, yeah.
Thing's a beast.
Old man Oliver.
Oh, it's the best thing ever. Fucking 1.5 kids deep. You know, my wife's almost halfway through a pregnancy. Got my daughter, got my snow blower. Come on. Bald head.
Bald.
Basically 60. That's awesome. No, but anyways, how's the last week been? How you been?
Good. It was a busy week. Back in the swing of prep. Had a nice little 12-mile run before this.
Nice.
I was running a little bit behind, but we prevailed. Ran with my boy Francesco. Same thing you said, Gills, you had no idea who listens to it. He was telling me, we're running, and I love, like, most of my runs are alone and just with me in my fucking crazy thoughts, but like every now and then I'll run with someone like Timmy. And Francesco, they're both prepping for the same marathon as me. So
nice.
Last weekend I ran with him, this weekend I ran with him, and we just talked the whole time. Like, you don't even realize, like, we hit 6 miles and we were like, yo, where did that go? You don't even realize. And what he brought up, he was like, yeah, I listened to the podcast. He was like, the last episode. And I'm like, you listen to it? Like, yeah. I had no idea. Like,
that's,
I literally
awesome.
Have no idea, but it's pretty dope. Like, when
I love that.
I mean, it's dope that anyone listens to it, but like when you have like your close friends.
They didn't even tell you they listen sometimes.
No,
like, it comes up in a random conversation. It happens to me all the time.
Yeah, and I mean, you kind of expect, I don't know, you don't expect your close friends. It's weird. I can't put it into words.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like,
I
you just
exactly
don't expect them to
you don't
listen
expect
to it.
And then when they say, you, like, honestly, it's the best feeling ever. I'm like, I always question, like, you listen? He goes, bro, of course. Gil said that, my boy Nico.
Yeah,
a bunch
it's awesome.
I don't expect it. And then when they say, they're like, yeah, you were talking about that right on the podcast. I'm like,
yeah, I'm like,
really?
You listen? You're keeping up?
<That's> my boy.
Fucking
appreciate
awesome.
You.
Thank you.
That's awesome. But yeah, no, that's awesome. That's awesome to hear. So 12 miles today. When's the marathon?
Sorry, I'm hydrating. April 14th.
Nice. So about, all right. So it's quick.
Quick. I mean, decently. I'm keeping the fitness that I built from this last prep because it was really
keeping it going.
So I still have a lot of fitness in me, and it's about 11 weeks.
What are you shooting for?
I spoke with my coach. I want to do like through, depending on how training goes, which it's going well so far. 3:10 to 3 hours 10 minutes to 3 hours and like 14 minutes would be.
You're ideal. Like 3:25 this time.
3:23.
That's close.
Yeah, and I mean, the watch is always inaccurate, so I have my watch on. And
that's the official time.
The official time, yeah. So like, I finished the marathon, and I set my watch to a 26.2 workout, but it always comes out to a little bit more than 26.2 in the actual race. So my watch had me at like 3:20 or 3:21, whatever it was. And then the official time is like 3:23. So you go by that, obviously.
Of course, yeah.
So, yeah. So that would be ideal, 3:14 nice. or 3:10. If I could do better, that'd be fucking awesome. But, you know, I don't shoot too unrealistic, you know, but we'll see.
Small, steady, small steps, gradually.
Yeah, you get where exactly. You want to go. You don't know.
It'll be sub-3 eventually.
Eventually,
what's
yeah.
What's like an amazing time? I have no idea.
My coach is actually today. They have the Olympic trials. He's going for it. His PR is 2 hours and 17 minutes.
Jesus,
he's
Christ.
Gonna try and beat that.
What? All right. So 26 miles.
An elite time is any. I mean, honestly, sub-3 is pretty elite. But like, it's becoming more common because a lot of people are starting to like go for it. Yeah. So like, an elite time is usually 2 hours 40 in that range or lower.
How fast do you have to run to get it like 2:17? Like, what's your speed?
You're like I don't know exactly. I'd have to check like a pace converter, but it's like a 5:30 minute per mile pace, which is
the whole time,
which is my, which in July I tested my mile and it was 5:30 and I was near death after. So like 1 mile at that, I almost died, but yet people are running fucking marathons. 20,
Jesus. What is it? What is their 1 mile sprint?
Probably like four minutes. Like, it's insane. It's insane.
The fuck? Yeah. We're running like a fucking deer.
Yeah.
Jesus. I'm over here. It's 9 minute mile. No, I don't even know what I'm at. I haven't done it in a while.
That kind of ties into the topic you brought up, imposter syndrome that we want to talk about today. And I don't know what your, that's why I asked you what your, I meant, I didn't really mean view on it. I meant more of like, what was your perspective, what you were going to speak about. But same thing, you can have imposter syndrome in anything. And imposter syndrome is like, and correct me if you think I'm wrong or if there's a different definition of it, but it's like feeling like you're not worthy or not good enough in certain aspects. Yep. Yeah. So like, I mean, if you're a runner or new to running and you see someone running at 5:30, second,
you feel like you can't label yourself as a runner.
Yeah, it's like, oh shit, like I shouldn't even be here, you know.
Yeah.
I could feel like that too when I show up to a marathon, you know. It's like, I shouldn't even be here. I'm not elite like that,
like these guys. Exactly. Yeah. I have multiple experience, like stories about it. I feel like a lot of people feel that. It's a level of like self-doubt, but it's also like when you're newer to something, or not even newer, just like when you just compare yourselves to others. Like even when we first started the podcast, like I would see other people with the podcast on Instagram I'm not, like, I'm not like them. Meanwhile, I'm like, what? Like, why?
What is that? What are they?
What are they?
Yeah.
What do you mean? We have a podcast. We are a podcast.
We have life experiences like, that we can speak about,
just like they do.
Yeah.
Exactly. Or like even like when you're starting out on social media, like being an influencer, like that was always something that made me feel like an imposter. But specifically for me, it was with my career, with being in sales, like being a salesman. Like I never truly like. Until recently, and that's why I wanted to talk about it, because I feel like I recently broke out of this imposter syndrome with sales, and I never really labeled myself as a salesman. I felt like I wasn't. I would look at other salesmen. I'm like, oh, they're more extroverted. They're this, they're that. That fits the more of the role of a salesman. Like when you think about me in sales, like I'm closer to the introverted side of the spectrum. Like I'm not an extrovert. I'm not going to go here and talk about everything always and be so outgoing. I'm a lot more reserved. But when I have to sell, I could definitely get small talk going. I could definitely transition from small talk into the topic that we're discussing. And I am very educated on the topic we're talking about and the industry, and I'm convincing. So that's when you think from a sales perspective, I have my own style. But I always thought of like, oh, a salesperson is someone who's extremely outgoing, extremely extroverted, can talk for hours, is going to start talking about your kids, talk about all this stuff, and like get crazy sales through the door. I'm like, I'm not that type of person. I'm like more analytical, more reserved. And that's why I was like actually nervous to join sales 2-3 years ago. And then finally, the last couple of months, I would say, but just the realization really came like 2-3 weeks ago. Because I had a, when I first moved into sales, it was an account management role. So it's not like really going out and getting new logos, like new sales. It's like we have the clients and you're managing the account, still under the sales department. And I did pretty good enough to get promoted into the actual sales role as of last year, January 1st of 23. I started as like a new business sales rep doing like new logos. And I crushed it. Hit 240% of my target. So they gave you a target at the beginning of the year. I crushed it more than double. And just seeing myself in the environment, speaking to clients, I just really gained a lot of confidence. And then this year I've been doing it again, ripping a lot of meetings, getting a lot of, you know, progressing a lot of deals. And I took a step back and I was like, you know, like I'm actually, you know, I'm pretty good, but it's like, I finally broke out. This whole time, all of last year, I wouldn't feel like I'm not a salesman.
Why do you think you felt like that? What do you think caused that?
I don't know. I didn't.
There's usually an internal reason why.
I had an internal picture of what a salesperson looked like and I didn't fit that. Mm-hmm. But that also is limiting. And that's what I want to talk about today, because what I've realized, that's limiting. Like I have this all, it's a perception. Mm-hmm. I have a specific perception of what a salesperson is, but my style and who I am was much different. I was much more consultative. I would never just push a sale. If it wasn't a good fit, I would say it's not a good fit. I'm not just chasing numbers. I'm not like the used car sales guy that's going to sell you something and you're going to hate it after you got drive off the lot. I was extremely honest, extremely, you know, consultative, and I would move slowly to make sure the client felt well. And that's what allowed me to succeed. And it's my own strategy. But like when you have like salespeople have a stigma. And like, you know, or there's a certain perception about them. They care about their targets. That's what gets them paid. They want to sell. And so that's why I felt like I wasn't a salesperson, but I realized like at the end of the day, I'm my own type of salesperson.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean, as I touched upon, same thing in the same concept that you were speaking about. When I started running, I was like self-conscious to post my watch or a run or even sign up for a race because I had a perception of what a runner looks like or is. And I'm like, oh, I'm muscular, you know, I'm not saying I'm jacked, but I'm bigger than the average runner. They tend to be more thinner.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, I have no place doing this. Why am I posting my runs on social media? Yep. For people to see? Cause then people would ask me questions and I felt like,
who am I to answer this?
I don't know anything. You know, like I'm brand new into this. And like, even now sometimes, like I get tons of questions about running and gear and what I prefer and nutrition and this and that. And I'm more comfortable answering now because of my experiences and what I've learned. But I always do emphasize, like, listen, like I'm not an expert at all. I've learned from people who know more and have been in this more, but I can give you my own anecdotal data. And if that like slips into my head, like I don't really have a place to be giving people advice. And you got to think back and be like, wait a minute. No, I kind of do. You know, I'm not an elite runner, but I've numerous races now in the past 4 years. I mean, I've been through countless preps. I've raced numerous races and I've succeeded in almost every race that I've done in a personal way, in the sense that I PR'd each time, you know. Yeah. I've gotten better each time. So of course I have some type of input to give.
Of course you do.
I can't doubt my knowledge. I've learned through my own mistakes. I've learned through people who know more than me.
Yeah.
So why can't you give that advice to someone? Especially, you can even look at it in a sense of an elite runner to a brand new runner. I'm kind of like, I would say maybe in the middle. I feel like I relate more to that beginner runner than maybe the elite runner would. 100%. What I mean?
You know what also is that the first thing I think about when you say like, who am I to give that information? If you think about it like this, it's got to be like what? Less than 2% of the world's population have actually completed a marathon. I don't know what it is, but
1%.
It's 1%? Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, probably, less than 1%. So if you think about this, there's 99% of people out there that have less experience than you. And that's 90, that's probably 1% of people that completed one. You've done like three, four now.
Yeah.
Right? So, and you're going five, six, whatever, and you're going to keep going. So think about it.
Yeah. I didn't even think, consider that.
99% of people. Yeah. So 99 out of every 100 people you see, you know more about them than this, or you have more experience than them at this specific, you know, topic. So you could share.
Mm-hmm.
So that alone puts you at a place that you could should eliminate your imposter syndrome. But it, again, it's something internal where you, I think, you know, from my perspective, I'm no, you know, I don't think anybody's an expert on this unless you're a psychologist, but it's, I think it's that self-perception on what a certain thing should be, and then reflecting and looking at yourself and only focusing on why you're not that person,
mm-hmm.
and then discouraging yourself further
from even,
away
from even starting,
from either starting. Exactly. Like if you want to be an influencer, you know, you could be the next biggest influencer in a certain niche, whatever, and you have zero followers today. But if you start and say, oh, who am I? Nobody wants to listen to me. Nobody cares about me. Look at this guy with 100,000 followers. An influencer has to look and feel and talk and have this type of gear. And that's imposter syndrome.
It's, yeah, like
you're kind of relating yourself to that. Meanwhile, come into this space.
I've spoken about that with you. Yeah. I've told you, stop undervaluing your story.
Yeah.
Everybody's story is unique. Everybody has some type of story and experience to share with other people. Just because you undervalue it doesn't mean someone else does.
I think that was imposter. I had imposter syndrome from being an influencer, from everything, like just being like on podcasts, or I think on everything. I think everybody suffers from. You have to have a significant level of confidence to not. I think the everyday average person with like normal levels of, you know, self-confidence, it's not like through the roof, which everybody should work on having higher self-confidence. Feels that way in some way, shape, or form, I think.
100% agree. I definitely have experienced that in multiple areas of life, not even just job or running, in other aspects where like, and I see this a lot, where it's like something, you kind of almost expect something bad to happen. It's kind of like, good, I deserve that. You know,
yeah,
what I
exactly.
Mean?
It's insane.
You're like, I don't deserve anything.
I told you. It's one side of your mind saying, like, I told you couldn't do it.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Yeah. There's relationship imposter syndrome where you feel like you're not good enough for the person. That's big too.
That's another one.
Yeah, man.
I never had that one, but I could definitely see that being a thing.
That, like, I've had. I've had that. Yeah, yeah. Where I'm just like, nah, too good for me. And that comes from a lack of self-worth, self-love,
yep,
self-compassion, everything. Like, because you really need to, when that happens, and this is what changed my mindset, is you really need to take a step back and be like, all right, who am I? Remember where you came from and what you've done and what you've been through and what you have to offer. And you kind of got to reflect back on that life resume that we've spoken about,
yep.
And be like, oh, all right, why am I saying I'm not worthy for something good to happen or for someone to love me, something like that. You know what I mean? A lot of people have that issue where they feel that they just don't deserve something because they just feel like they're not good enough. Because
they hate themselves.
Yeah. But you need to look at what you've done. Look back and see where you came from, what you've been through, what you've overcome, what you have to offer, what kind of person you are, and be like, no. I deserve it. And someone would be lucky to have that. Or I deserve to be happy, you know?
Exactly. I think it all boils down to recognizing your self-worth,
mm-hmm.
right? Like from a relationship to being a runner to being on social media to being in sales, like I mentioned, like I think it took a little bit of time for me to prove to myself, this is the freshest thing that's on my mind, that I could actually go out there and be an effective, you know, salesperson. Just not fitting the perception that I put on that role, seeing other people doing it, and they're successful and they kind of fit that criteria that I would, you know, kind of outlined. But it took me a little while. Now I do reflect, and I was talking to my wife the other day. I was like, Nick, I'm a pretty good salesman. Like I'm pretty good, and I'm happy with who I am because I've never sold something and had a client come back pissed off. That's the ultimate, like, for me. Some people don't care, like, and whatever, like, it's fine. I don't care. I'm not going to sit here and judge anybody. But for me, the one thing I care about is sitting. I want to make sure everybody loves what they buy. And I'm going to be very educated. I'm going to take my time through the process. I'm going to show you everything. We're going to be very thorough. And I'm going to make sure we answer all your questions and you feel comfortable before we move forward. And the best part is everybody that I have, you know, moved on to our system, they give that feedback. Like, you know, we're going with you because we feel like you really have our best in mind. Like, you know what I mean? And you're not just trying to push a sale. I've got that feedback from multiple people. And I think that's also a key thing that allowed me to really resonate with the role. It was a lack of self-worth. Wow, I couldn't talk. A lack of self-worth, but also some things have a negative stigma associated with it that you don't want to connect yourself with.
Mm-hmm.
But that doesn't mean you can't tailor that role and change your perception on what a salesperson is. Because think about it. When you hear of a salesperson, the first thing that...
Sleazy salesman.
Sleazy used car salesman. They're going to tell you everything you want to hear. They're going to hide all the bad stuff. They're going to hope you don't open the trunk and see all the stuff that's missing. And then they're going to make your money and then you'll never hear from them again. That's like the first thing people... And people don't like to be sold. They love to buy. They don't like to be sold. So that was my perception on a salesperson. So like to put myself in the position of, oh, I'm going to be a salesperson and not satisfying the qualities or those negative, like I don't want to resonate with the negative, you know, qualities. That was another piece that I felt like an imposter, because I'm like, how can I be a salesperson? Like I had a lot of my morals would just tell me like, never sell something to someone that they're going to regret buying. Like if you think it's not a good fit, be very straightforward and let them know. I don't know, maybe.
You ended the stigma.
Yeah, for myself.
Yeah.
For myself. Because people out there still have it. But like the people that I deal with, that I work with, like I'm very straightforward, very transparent. And I think that's why I'm doing really good.
Yeah, but to you, that seems like imposter syndrome and you're not fitting the mold of what a salesman is. And to other people, it's refreshing.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, whoa, I was expecting
a little
like
more.
A little bit of a sleet. Like, you know, they come in maybe not trusting you and then they speak to you and they're like, oh, this guy's a fucking regular dude, you know? That's good.
I think that's what's led to my success. And I actually feel it's
you need to look back on your own resume and look. I mean, you obviously got hired for the job, right?
Yeah.
So they saw something in you that want to hire you, right? So you need to reflect that, all right, I'm here for a reason. I should be here. I deserve to be here, and I have something unique to give, mm-hmm. and you're showing that with your results, right?
Exactly.
So when you doubt that, just look back and be like, I'm here for a reason. I'm supposed to be here.
And what I'm doing is working. Yeah. Exactly. You're 100% right. And like relating to the people that are listening, like I'm sure in some way, shape, or form, whoever's listening to this, there's some level of imposter syndrome in anything. A lot of times this happens too. New parents. Mm-hmm. They're like, because they could be young. I had a little bit when you just had my daughter. I'm like, I'm a dad. Like, I was like, how do you feel? Not different at all.
Yeah.
I just have a kid now. I'm like, I don't know what to do, this and that. But then it all came so natural. But there was like a little imposter syndrome there. And I know a lot of mothers feel this way too. Because my wife, she always, you know, her older brother had a lot of kids. She was their aunt. She was really engaged. So she knew what to do right off the bat. But she talked to some of her friends. And some of her friends like have some of that like feeling. They don't know if they're doing things right. They feel like an imposter. Meanwhile, it's like she just tells them, like, just chill out, relax, everything will come to you. But it's as simple as that. Being a new parent, you feel like an imposter. Oh, I all my life I was the child. Now I'm the parent. Big move, big switch. It's like, who am I to be a parent? I don't know anything. Because you feel like you have to like study and know exactly what to do. Meanwhile, like, listen, that's what your parents were like too.
Yeah.
Everybody just had a kid and they were like, it just came natural, you know? So in one way, shape, or form, there's definitely a level of imposter syndrome that's affecting, I think, everybody. And I think the way to really get around that is, like you mentioned, is just take a step back and be like, reflect.
Mm-hmm.
So you could say, like, I got this.
Yeah.
And then, or if there's a negative perception you're labeling on that specific thing that you're trying to become, whether it's an influencer and you're like, oh, look at all these influencers. Like, you know, one of those, there's a lot of people that have a negative perception to influencers, but then also want to attempt at social media or, like I said, for sales. How about you redefine it for yourself?
You become an imposter syndrome almost when you try to fit that mold. You know what I mean?
Wow. Yeah.
That
you're not being you.
Yeah.
You clearly don't like that stuff.
Exactly. Like that's something, that's like an approach I took, not even took, it's just how I am. And I don't consider myself an influencer. I personally hate that word. And I don't, because of what you're saying, the negative stigma on what on they it. Are. Exactly. Technically, I guess you could say I am because
you have an influence.
Yeah, I guess a lot of so. People, yeah, that's not. I'm just a regular dude in my mind that posts shit on social media and it happens to resonate with people. But I feel that people, you fill the mold of an influencer has to be this corny person who acts different and on the camera and they're talking to their phone and they're trying to, they're, you know, in a sense, salesman too, like, you know,
yeah,
or saleswoman, whatever. And you have, that's what you have to do. And you have to, you constantly have to be traveling and showing this flashy lifestyle. And then there's like people like me, which is really anyone, all only people that I really can't associate with the people like that. Cause I just have nothing in common with them. The people that I'm boys with and friends with, just regular people that just happen to share this. Like you see me, I'll just share like random things that I do throughout the day. If it's something I feel like sharing and, yeah. And it, but it's more relatable. So like, if you feel like I can't do that because I don't have that flashy lifestyle or I don't have all this and that, that all these influencers have, you don't have to, you really yeah. don't have to, you have to share value, your story and just be you, just exactly. be a regular person that you don't have to put on this fake voice and this act when you're on camera, you know?
Exactly. Exactly. So the imposter syndrome comes in when you think you have to when you think you have to like change yourself to a, you know, align more with the, like, your perceptions about that specific thing. So mm-hmm. in social media world, influencer, if you think all that stuff about what influencers live, like always got to be on this private jet, getting off, traveling, have the little airplane logo in your highlights, and like, you know what I mean, all that stuff, like, then you're like, oh, I don't have any of that. Meanwhile, it's like, that's not really what it is. And from my perspective, like, the word influencer is like, it's a person who has influence
yeah.
on a good amount of people that you could actually label them an influencer, right?
Yeah.
But in most people, it's like, you hear the word influencer because it's such a commonly used term, or salesperson or whatever. And they're like, on influencers, it's, oh, that's one of those guys that they just record everything they do. They can't eat a meal without taking it. And everybody's always on camera. And
which
and
is always, true for some. And that's...
Stigmas come for... It's not like people just make them up out of thin
air.
Yeah,
yeah.
But that doesn't mean like you have to be like that. Mm-hmm. And if you want to generate a wide influence and grow an audience to share something valuable like you do, you don't have to like... doubt that you are an influencer or something like that because you don't fit that mold. You do.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Yeah,
what I mean?
I recently put. I'm sure you saw it on my story about some people who get this complex when they have a lot of followers and kind of like. Did you see that? I put it on.
I feel like
a bunch of people yeah. were screenshotting it and tagging me and sharing it on their story because basically I wrote that I was talking with my boy and we were just discussing this and I basically said like. People tend social. The bad thing about social media is people will get some followers and develop a complex, like they're the almighty. You know what I mean? Like mm-hmm. I've been around people that have some followers, and like you could tell it's like
oh, it changed them.
You're breathing my air, like that kind of, and it can almost give somebody some type of like if you're actually impressed by that, which I'm not. If you're actually like impressed by that or affected by that, you could feel like, oh, I can't do that. You know, like I'm not like they're celebrities. They're really not, you know?
Exactly.
And I said, I've been around people like that. And I've been around people with a lot of followers who are just regular people. And like, when I speak to them, I'm not like, oh my God, you have 100,000 followers. Like, I don't
care. They look at that with value. Exactly.
I don't yeah. care. It's like, I go up to him, like, yo, what's good? Like I talk to him, like I've talked to anybody, yeah. my boys. And I'm like, if you're just someone who doesn't have a good, you're not a good person, you don't have a good personality, then I don't care how many followers you have, you know?
You're valuing,
and
exactly.
And then at the end of the story, I said, I respect the people who are grinding and working and actually have life experience. And I gave examples, like the person who is going to school and working a full-time job, or the person who works multiple jobs to support their family, or the person who gets up every day to work but still finds time to better themselves. Those are the people I respect.
Yeah.
So that's a lot of people that you would speak to that say like, I can't post on, you know, I'm not an influencer or per mm-hmm, se, whatever, mm-hmm. anything like that. And I'm like, I respect you.
I wish there was more
you
people
have
like
my
that.
Respect.
Yeah.
I want to see more of
I wanna
that.
See, exactly.
I want to see more
you
of that.
You could teach me more. I could learn more from all these different people that have those perspectives. It's not valued based on following. It's valuing based on what they have to offer based on their life experiences. Like, for example, I follow one of my boys from growing up. He's doing this new thing. He always puts doesn't always put all of his goals, but like one of his things that he like posts in his stories a lot, and doesn't have any followers. He has a normal Instagram account. is like his goal is to get like I think 100 books this year. So he has to read like 8 books a month. So that's a lot. Now, this kid, he might be flying. I know we always talk about reading, and he's always been into it. He flies through these books and retains everything. But it motivates me. Like, you know what I mean? He's probably not someone that thinks he has an influence at all, but an influencer could be defined as someone that has a massive influence to a lot of followers. But he influenced me. I just
or
got back
you just
into
have
reading.
An influence on people around you.
Exactly. Yeah. And he influenced me because now I'm reading. I'm like, this kid's ripping out books. It made me miss how much, like, cause I've stopped reading and like I haven't read for a while. It made me miss reading. So like he influenced me in a positive direction. Mm-hmm. That's awesome. And he probably has no idea.
Yeah.
He has no idea. And he's just sitting there. Probably if I have no idea if he listens to the podcast or not, whatever. But if he does, he's probably going to be like, wow, like. You know what I mean? He got me back into reading, which is awesome. Sometimes I shoot him a question like, hey, how's that book? He'll break it down for me. He's like, this is a sick book for this X, Y. He was reading The Laws of Success right there. I'm like, I got to pick it up. I have it on my bookshelf. He told me he liked it better than Think and Grow Rich. Same author. It's just awesome. You know what I mean? It's he influenced me to get back into reading in a positive direction. So when people have that negative thing for like, oh, an influencer, like, it doesn't have to be that.
No.
You know what I mean?
Someone. I mean, how many? That's I don't. I've made it like my conscious decision not to consume social media, really. Cool. Like, I post and I try to just get right off the app. Yeah, I'll see like the first couple of posts, and it's usually people that I engage with, so I see that. I'll watch maybe a few of my friends' stories, but I'm not sitting there looking at, I just don't want to do it anymore. The people that I am watching and I look at, a lot of them aren't people with massive followings, and a lot of them are people like you're mentioning, someone who's just posting on their regular yeah. Instagram, but I value what they are posting.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, like my boy lives down south. I met him in like the realm of the social media space. He is a phenomenal, phenomenal runner, in sick shape. He's also jacked, which is sick. He's so knowledgeable on nutrition and like fitness and everything. I actually mentioned him in my marathon post when I posted my results. He was one of the people I thanked because he was helping me prior to the race, like giving me nutrition advice and like during the race or right before the race. The dude is and he's got like a decent like couple thousand followers, but he's also got a wife and kids and he's got a job, and like it's not his number one priority to grow on social media. Mm-hmm. He has other real priorities, but he also shares just his runs for the day or his nutrition or books or some type of passage he's reading. I'm always watching his shit because it's very, very knowledgeable and it's very, for me, valuable.
Yeah.
And I appreciate the hell out of that. And I don't know if like he realizes, and this is not just for him, for a lot of people that I follow, they don't realize that like I value it. So if I'm valuing it, I'm sure other people are too.
Yeah, 100%.
People undervalue themselves and then will put themselves in a box and say, oh, I'm not
in, not going
to
post.
I'm not
anymore.
Supposed to do that.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Like
happened to me.
Yeah.
Happened to
exactly.
Me. Still is. I haven't been on social media active, but I like when I first started the page, like all I did was I put like a motivational quote and I would put like paragraphs in the caption. And I was like, who's reading this? Nobody was reading this. Why do they want to read it for me?
You don't know that.
I don't know. The thing is, people were reading it, and I actually was building some stuff, and like I was, you know me. My biggest struggle, I was focusing on the numbers, the followers, and the views.
Yeah,
that's what crushed me.
And I just spoke about this. I like me personally, don't like it's
you
not
can't.
It's not impressive to me. It's at all
it's
like
the
I
content.
That's an algorithm. Anyone yeah. can post multiple videos a day and get picked up by an algorithm and get followers. That's not real life. It's
exactly.
not real life.
Exactly.
What you do, who you are, what you have to offer is real life, and that's what you. The whole this wraps up to everything that we were speaking about. You have to just take a step back and be like, who the fuck am I and where did I come from? Look at yourself and give yourself that credit, because
yep.
other people are probably valuing you and you don't even know, and you're selling yourself short
every time. And I'm a victim of that. Still am a victim of that in certain areas. You can't be perfect, but slowly like I'm eliminating it. But I remember when I was doing a lot of the social media, felt that way. In my career, Always felt that way. Always felt like there was a chip on my shoulder. It actually helped me succeed because it made me work 3, 4, 5 times as hard. You never get a big ego.
Used it to a positive, yeah.
So I use it to a positive in my career.
So imposter syndrome, I'm not going to say it could be good, but it also keeps your ego in check.
Yes.
Which ego is another topic. We could do an episode on that. Because
the other spec side of it is
we'll do an episode on the ego, too.
Next one.
That's the next one. You guys already got a sneak peek. Ego, baby. Ego.
That's good. That's a good one. I have a lot to say about that.
All right.
Because ego could be anywhere. Let's not talk about it.
We'll be here for another 2 hours.
Episode 22 and 23 at the same time. 2-hour episode special. That's hysterical.
But it does. It keeps the ego in check.
It does.
And so it didn't allow you to get cocky, but the imposter syndrome allowed you to work hard enough to where you could get confident.
Yeah, exactly.
And that's important.
You have to balance it, though. You know what I mean? Because if you get too confident, you start
making mistakes.
Yeah. You start overlooking things. Mm-hmm. And then you're
too confident. You're too confident. And you're like, I can't fuck up. But you do.
Exactly. So and if you're non-confident at all, you're not going to take your shots. Mm-hmm. And people aren't really going to believe you because they realize you don't even believe in yourself. So it's going to be like, this guy doesn't even know what he's talking about. Meanwhile, you could say nothing but facts.
Yeah.
And they're going to be like, the way you delivered that, you sound unsure.
Yeah.
You ever hear something that sounds unsure?
Uh-huh.
You know what I mean? So it's very, wow, that's a good episode right there. Mm-hmm. Balancing between, zero confidence, but overconfidence. Jesus Christ. We're getting all the episodes out today.
Oh, you guys got sneak peeks in the next one.
That's awesome.
So I'm writing these down.
Yeah, we got it before we forget.
But like you said, you had imposter syndrome as a father at first.
Yeah.
But like from the outside looking in, like me and Timmy, when I've run with Timmy before, we've mentioned you and how you are, but like he's killing it. Your work, how you are with your family, beautiful house. We've said it. You don't give yourself that credit. Maybe you do, but at first I'm sure you didn't. But like obviously you're doing really well. I mean, when I at some point am a father, that's I could look to you for value.
Yeah,
you sell yourself short, but I look at you as valuable.
No, I appreciate that, and I've been getting better at like a lot of gratitude. So I'm so thankful everything I have. But when I first had Violet, when she first, like everybody's like, "How do you feel?" I'm like, I'm supposed to feel something. She's like, "Don't you feel like that overwhelming love in your chest?" I'm like, "No." When she was first born, now I know exactly what they were talking about. My mom would ask and everything. Actually, my mom told me, give it time. But people would ask that parents, they were like, because when one parent speaks to another about their kids, like I could describe how much I love my kid to another parent and I know they'll understand. I never had this feeling before I had Violet, so I wouldn't really be able to understand when my mom told me how much she loves me and all this stuff. So I get that. So, but parents would tell me like ask me about that feeling, like thinking I already had it, but it was like 2-3 weeks in,
mm-hmm.
and she's just a newborn and she's just sitting there sleeping all day. And I'm like, I'm looking at her. And it took a little time. Like for my wife, I think for women it's different. I don't know, but for my wife it was different. And because she's carrying that baby for 9 months. She's growing it, that baby. It's a beautiful thing.
It's kind of like you're at a loss of words. You just really don't know how to feel. It's something so new, right?
Exactly. Yeah. And then like as Violet is like, getting older and she's like looking around, she's grabbing my finger and I'm feeding her. And it's like, then it really started to click in my head. Like, this is my baby girl. I'm a dad. And I'm like, I'm changing her diaper and like carrying her and doing like more parental things. And like, I don't know how long it took. It didn't take too long, but then it hit me. And then I was like, now I feel that what people are talking about. I'm like, oh, that's what they were talking about. But in the beginning, like she was just born. I'm sitting in the hospital. And everybody's like, oh, how do you feel? I'm like, the same, slightly more tired because I've been in the hospital for 24 hours. Like, what am I supposed to fucking feel? You know what I mean? And then that's what made me feel like a little bit like, I'm like, even my mom says, my mom brings it up now. She's like, remember when you just had Vi and you were like, I asked her, I'm like, wow, am I supposed to feel something? Because I don't feel anything. Like, you know what I mean? I was expecting this big change. I'm not a parent to a parent. And I'm like, nothing changes. Like when you turn 30.
Yeah.
Oh, you're 30 now. How do you feel?
Yesterday I was 29.
And now I'm fucking 30. It's the same exact feeling. So that's the thing. But it does grow on you. So I did have it when I was a parent as well. But I think for everything, whenever you're doing something new, especially like something big enough like that you could apply a label to or apply have a specific perspective on or stigma on, I think whenever you kick that into your life, you're bound to feel slightly.
Just stop trying to fit the mold,
Exactly.
That's really like the motto for this is just stop trying to fit the mold of everything. The one thing I hate is the with anything, it's like, that's how we've always done it. I feel like this ties into it. Like, you ever hear that? Like,
that's how we always done it?
Yeah. It's like, all right, why are we doing it like this? It doesn't work. And they'll be like, oh, well, that's how we've always done it. I hate that. Yeah. I don't like that.
They're not thinking.
It's like, just because what got you here will not get you there. So you're talking about like the salesman mold, or we were talking about the influencer mold, or it's like, just because there's a certain like stigma, and it's for a majority of time, that's how it was looked at. Bring your own uniqueness into it and create your own mold.
Yeah, exactly. Right? That's the key.
Yeah.
That's the key. And that's, I think, the key to getting rid of imposter syndrome, because you're like, you know what? But it's also boils down to self-confidence, because the thing is, they're going to say, like, who am I to make my own mold? These guys are successful salesmen.
Well, take an inventory of what you have. Who are you? Look at what you did to get there. Exactly. Like, you could look back at what you did to get to your position and be like, oh, all right, I deserve to be.
Exactly. It's all about reflection. It's every episode we go back to reflection.
Yeah, that's
crazy. I mean, that's how powerful it is.
Bro, that's I feel like that's like the foundation for life is reflection on yourself.
We do so little of it, most of us, because you're just day after day, day after day, day after day. What am I doing tomorrow?
Distracted.
Next week, always. I got this. Next weekend, we got this. I got to prepare my taxes. I got to go to work tomorrow. This.
Scroll. Watch. You're not. You're just go out. Surrounded by people. You're not thinking. You know what I mean? Take that time.
Yeah. Every day, you add another day into that history. Yeah. You got to study your history. Yeah. And that's through reflection. You got to study your history. How else are you going to know yourself?
Yeah.
You feel like I'm sitting here and I feel like, oh, I know myself because I am me. But like,
you don't. Trust me, you don't. If you haven't taken time to spend time with yourself, that was one of my February accountability list points that I made 2 days ago on Instagram, was continue to embrace your alone time. Continue to get to know yourself. You don't need to constantly be distracted. That's, to me, my alone time, me being by myself, even if it's for a few minutes, whatever it is. That's very important to me, because you could just, once you reflect on who you are as a person, then you just reflect on maybe the day before, or maybe if you woke up feeling some type of way, you can reflect on why you're feeling that type of way. But without everything else coming into your head, without your phone, without text messages and Instagram and watching TV or going out and being surrounded by people and alcohol and all this, you are not really getting to know yourself
at all. That's a good thing to actually focus on in February. I should do the same, because I've been actually, I used to love being alone.
Or your meditation.
Yeah. Yeah. I've been getting back into it, because that's one of my goals, but that's even more than that. Like, sometimes now, like, I used to love going out and just like sitting at a restaurant, just eating by myself with my thoughts, like, and just like chilling. But now I'm still getting farther and farther away from my phone. I don't go on social media as much, deleted half the apps, but like, still, I find myself like on my commute, like sometimes I scroll or sometimes I just sleep, but I don't really sit down like I used to and just sit with my thoughts and just think. You know what I mean? Just think.
So simple, but so hard.
Oh, it's the best thing ever, because you could really plan, or you could reflect. Mm-hmm. You could reflect and then build a plan all in your mind. You know what I mean? I used to have always a notepad with me and just write down. I'm going to get back. That's one of my February goals. Today's what, the 3rd? Awesome. I'm going to do the same thing.
So the next episode, I want to hear that you actually were doing it.
100%. I want to hear what you were doing too. Because that's to hold each other accountable. I think that's one thing we got to start doing. So now we have an aligned goal. That's awesome. So spending alone time and what we've done with that alone time. And some of we got to also track the results too.
Yes.
Yeah. Because that's the thing. Because if we're like, oh yeah, I'm doing all that, I'm putting all this effort into doing it, but like,
I don't feel a difference.
What I get out of it.
Yeah.
That's when you stop doing it.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're doing it and you're consistent doing it, we're holding each other accountable. I'm like, yo, I feel really good.
Yeah.
I actually put this whole thing into perspective, or I had a notepad and I built out a plan for what I was doing for the strategy at work, or whatever the case may be. Like, it's really helpful. We got to measure it.
And if you're listening and you relate to the imposter syndrome, any of the ones we brought up, or maybe there's a different one, you should do that too. Reflect, think. Think why you feel this way. Why do you feel like you don't deserve to be in a certain position, or you don't deserve to have love, or you don't deserve to have something good happen to you because you've had a bunch of bad things happen to you throughout life? Figure out why, and then I need you to make a list of everything that you've been through and what you've done and what you have to offer as a person. I want you to read that over and over and over and over and keep saying to yourself who you are and what your value is, because you have value. You have uniqueness. There's a reason you are where you are. There's a reason you're with the person you're with. There's a reason that good things are happening to you.
Yep.
Okay.
Exactly. I love that actually last one. There's a reason that good things are happening.
There's a reason that good things are happening.
People feel imposter syndrome from that too. Who am I? Why are good things happening to me? Yeah. Look at all these other people.
I felt like that too.
Yeah.
Where I'm like, I wouldn't even celebrate anything good because I'm like, this is too good. Something bad is going to happen. It's like, what? Why?
Yeah. That superstition type of thing. But wow. I could resonate with that a little bit too, but you're 100% right. There's reason that good things are happening to you. Find out why.
Yeah.
Because good things don't just happen to you for no reason. I think that energy attracts similar energy.
Yeah, I'm not just talking out of my ass because like I said, that was something that I struggled with where good things would happen. And I would be like, just because, you know, life hits and hits often and it was hitting me a lot and I was just kind of like, all right, well, I guess I'm doomed to have everything bad happened. So when something good or things started to happen that were good for me, I'd be like, something's going to go wrong with this. It has to go wrong with that. And I did a lot of reflection and looked back as to why are these good things happening to me? And it made sense. Once I reflected, it was like, oh, well, I'm making different decisions. I'm doing this. I'm doing that. You see, you learn about yourself and learn why that's happening. And you'll be like, oh, so if I keep doing this, I keep making these decisions I'm making, more good things are going to come to
happen.
Me.
Exactly.
You just don't realize it. Maybe just subconsciously you started doing things differently or having a different outlook and things are happening and you're wondering why, but there's a reason why good things are happening to you. Nothing just comes to you. Nothing at all just comes to you.
Exactly. I don't think so. I think you work towards everything, and then the harder you work, the luckier you get.
Yeah.
Simple. Wow, that's a good one. That's a good one I'm going to take back. But definitely I would do everything you just said. Take action after this episode. And if you feel like you're an imposter for your career, in your relationship, as a parent, as whatever, in a new hobby that you're starting, you know, if you're starting to go play pickleball and you feel like all these people are better than you at pickleball, it could be something as small or stupid as that, like literally. Or going to the gym, you go to the gym, you see everybody in their gear, they look like they belong there, and you look at yourself and in a baggy white tee.
Everyone started somewhere, bro. Everyone started somewhere.
Exactly. Just don't hate starting at the bottom, because everybody has to start at the bottom first.
You deserve to be there and you should stay where you are.
Respect the bottom and keep it grinding. That's awesome. What a great episode.
Yeah,
can't wait to listen
good.
To this one back, because there's a lot of gems you dropped that I can't wait to even post this, listen to it back, and then put some things into, you know, start implementing things like spending more time with myself and reflecting through the month of February and then into perpetuity, because that's something you always want to do.
Did I just influence you?
You're an influencer, bro. You.
Don't fucking
You're
call
a
me
fucking
that.
Influencer.
Don't call me that, please.
Yeah, Frankie's the biggest influencer I've ever seen in my life. Huge. However you want to think about it. That's awesome. That's awesome. But with that, have a great rest of your weekend or whenever you listen to this, and we'll see you guys next week.
Good.
All right.